Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And I'd like to bring a message this morning on this day after the 4th of July, this patriotic weekend, holiday weekend that we have. Happy birthday, America, 233 years old. I know America has its faults and has fallen far short of what it once was. But even in its fallen condition, it's still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. I know of the sins and shortcomings of this nation, and we have all a list of those things that are there. But even there, it is still a nation that God, in His wisdom and love and mercy, continues to bless and have His hand upon. I'd like to bring a message this morning, lifting a phrase from the Declaration of Independence and a few words. Those words of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you don't mind, it doesn't really matter whether you mind or not, I'm going to do it. But if you don't mind, if you'll bear with me and be gracious, I'll say that. I'd like to give you a history lesson as well as a Bible lesson. For I believe as an American, it's impossible to separate Americans' history from the God of the Bible. I believe they're hand in hand. I believe they go together. And I believe we on these holidays, listen, look up here, we need to be reminded what it means to live in this great nation. We need to hold forward that bloodstained banner. We need to hold forward that flag right over there. Let be reminded of what a great nation and country we live in. In a day when many are bad-mouthing and belittling this great country, we still enjoy freedoms that many people in other parts of the world only dream about, are willing to risk their life and all to get where we're at. And I want to remind us of what a great country that we have. John chapter 10, and I'd like to read one verse, and that is verse 10. John 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. This phrase, I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Look back to John chapter 8. Jesus there says that we can have life. In John 8, we're also told how we can have liberty, freedom. John 8, verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. God in His book tells us about life. He tells us about liberty, and He also tells us about happiness. Look, if you would, in John 13 and verse 17. Thanks for turning there and looking at these precious portions from the Word of God. John 13 and verse 17. A short scripture and a short sentence, but very important. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning with grateful hearts for the chance that we have in freedom to meet and worship You today. Thank You for the good singing by the choir and the congregation. And Lord, what a beautiful spiritual message from Miss Lindsay in song this morning. And I know there's many in here who can relate to that time, and even some that are here in that place in their life this morning. Let them be reassured from heaven itself that there is grace sufficient for every need in life. Give them that grace that will strengthen and sustain them and enable them to carry on. May our hearts and minds this morning be clear of the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. May You resist anything or anyone that would hinder the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, as You have laid these thoughts on my mind and these things here together, I am aware that without You, I can do nothing. Doesn't matter how many times I've preached, how many times I've been to this hour before, I am absolutely, completely dependent upon You. Give me just what You want me to say and keep from my mouth, the words of my mouth, anything that would displease Thee. May you be glorified. If there's anyone here lost today, may they come to know you as Savior. And those that are saved, may they grow in love and appreciation for you and this great nation. May all of us be thankful today. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In the summer of 1995, Sam Reed and I were in Philadelphia for the marriage of his son Jason. I had the privilege of being there at that wedding and marriage, and I think the camps were there as well, and we had a great time and a wonderful time. It's kind of neat to see that part of the world. We took part of a day and went to Independence Hall, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. It was not a very big room, maybe as big as our fellowship hall here in the church. And we also went by and saw the Liberty Bell, which has a verse of Scripture from Leviticus that says, proclaiming liberty throughout the land. I hope to never forget it. We were there with another church group, First Baptist Church from somewhere. They all had their hats on where they were from and a shirt. And this lady who was explaining the Liberty Bell was a very liberal individual. She was talking about liberty and freedom for everybody, race, gender, religion, sexual preference, or anything. And it was over. She made the mistake of saying, somebody have a question or a comment about the Liberty Bell? Miss Baptist back here, he said, I do, ma'am. And he said, if you don't mind, I'd like to tell people where that inscription came from. It came from the book of Leviticus, proclaiming liberty throughout the land. And I like your little speech, but I want you to know something. There is no liberty outside of Jesus Christ. And for about 5 minutes, he preached a wonderful message there on how it meant to be saved. So the Liberty Bell was rung once again that day. We enjoyed that. We were blessed by that opportunity that was there. We went to that room and we thought of those 56 brave men from 13 colonies who went there and the price that they paid for our freedom. John Quincy Adams says future generations will probably never know the price that freedom cost us. 5 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were captured by the British as traitors, tortured, and killed. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had sons captured. 9 of the 56 men fought and died from wounds in the Revolutionary War. Carter Braxton of Virginia, wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept away and he died in poverty and rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that his family had to be constantly moving. He served in Congress without pay. Boy, there's a novel idea. I can tell you how to stimulate the economy, let all congressmen turn their salary back in. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Served without pay. He lost his possessions and died in poverty. Vandals or soldiers looted and stole the property of Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Francis Middleton, Francis Lewis, and their homes. And the enemy and his wife came in and imprisoned his wife, and she died there. Who were these men that signed the Declaration of Independence? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means and well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence, knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And because of 56 of our founding fathers, men of courage, character, and commitment who did put their lives and their livelihood on the line, we enjoy the freedom that we have in the United States of America. We stood in that hall and we wept and cried as we thought what those brave men and women had sacrificed. We thank God for the privilege of being an American. I want to say this morning, I am glad I'm an American. I make no apology, and I have no regrets. I say it with humble gratitude that I'm glad I am an American. I'm not just an American because I was born here. I have that good fortune, but there are many legal immigrants who came to this country who are as much citizens of this country as I am because I was born here. I'm not just an American because of my lineage and my family, which came from Europe, who immigrated from Northern Ireland and landed there at Ellis Island, as many, many immigrants did. I'm not just an American because I live here. Sad to say, there are some Americans who live here who are not patriotic Americans. My motto is America, love it or leave it. There are ships and planes leaving every day, and if you don't like it, there's a lot of people I'd like to take a love offering up and buy them a ticket and let them leave. America would be a greater place if some of these people were no longer in America. Anyway, I digress. I'm not American just because I live here. I'm not American just because of my religious belief of those Bible-believing Protestants who came to America for freedom. I'm an American because I believe in America. I believe in what it was founded for and founded upon, biblical Christian principles in the Word of God. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. To deny God's hand and name in America is like denying there is a sun in the sky. You must be blind or willfully ignorant to reject the facts of American history. Can you say amen? I want you to think about this. America is the only nation who chose the God of the Bible at its inception. Think about that. Let that go down in your hearts and minds. In the history of the world and mankind, there's only been one nation who chose the God of the Bible at their inception, and that was America. Somebody said, how about Israel? God chose Israel before Israel ever chose God. And let me tell you something, they still do not believe in Jesus Christ, but God still chooses to bless that nation as well. The very first prayer in the Continental Congress, which was given in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia in September 7, 1774, says this, be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsel of this honorable assembly. Enable them to settle all things on the best and surest foundation, that the scene of blood may speedily be closed, that order, harmony, and peace may be effectually restored, and the truth and justice, religion, and piety prevail and flourish. Preserve the health of their bodies, the vigor of their minds. Shower down on them and the millions they here represent temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask, the very first prayer in the Continental Congress, all this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. The very first president of the United States, George Washington, said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. God and the Bible. Not some God and the Koran. God and the Bible. Our history, our heritage, our lineage is tied up in God and the God of the Bible and history as well. The Declaration of Independence said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of us governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. The last sentence in the Declaration of Independence said this, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Please listen. In the Declaration of Independence, these brave men were declaring their independence from an earthly power and clearly declaring their independence on a heavenly power, and that power was God Himself. America is not great because of its wealth, natural resources, money. It is great because God made America great. And the only way she'll return to her greatness is return to the God of the Bible, who helped form and found this country and made it great as well. God offers us life. Let me say that the pursuit of life is the quest of man from the beginning of time. The pursuit of life is the quest of man from the beginning of time, and God offers us life. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life." Do you know what men and women and human beings want? They want life. They want to live. They want to be alive. From that little baby that is first born in the arms of a mother, to that one who's on deathbed, gasping and fighting for that last breath of air, God has innately inborn into every person a desire to live. God offers us life. I say this morning, physical life is a gift from God. Do not take for granted your life. It is a gift from God. And do not take for granted the health you enjoy in life. Let me say this morning. Physical life, healthy life, is a gift from God Himself. Everything that is necessary to sustain physical life comes from God. The air, the ground, the sunshine, the food, the rain, and all of that. He gives physical life as a gift to man. Every person, saved or lost, is alive today because God gave them life, God made them alive, God has sustained their life and kept them going till now. When God determines your life is over, you will end your physical life. And no doctor, no hospital, no treatment, or no machine is going to keep you alive when God says your time is over. Until it's over, you are realizing physical life is a gift from God. But I want to say this. Spiritual life is also a gift from God. As I was reading the Declaration of the Independence here, I try to do it every 4th of July. I think it's good. It's one of the most masterful, wonderful things you'll ever read in your life. And it is some of the most beautiful English language you'll ever hear in your life. I mean, it is just magnificent. But as I was reading that, and I was thinking about those words that everybody, inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I had a profound thought. Now stay with me. I hope you can follow it, because my profound thoughts are real deep. When the men who wrote the Declaration of Independence, when they were writing it, they were alive. Get that? Follow me through now. They were alive. They were living. But they knew there was something more than just living, that real life was not merely existing, but it was living a free life and a real life. They knew there was more to life than physical life, but there was a spiritual part as well. Real life is not made up of possessions, property, or anything else. It is made up in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, as our founding fathers came to America, declared their independence in search of a new life, men and women are still running around this world today searching for real life, And a real life is only found in one person, and that is Jesus Christ. And it's only found in one place, and that is Calvary as well. God offers us not only physical life as a gift, but spiritual life as a gift. Let me save you some money, some time, some heartache, some tears, some pain, some disappointment. The world cannot satisfy. Nothing the world has will ever satisfy. Real life, abundant life, satisfying life is only found in one person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as our forefathers realized, there was more to life than just physically being alive. There was more to life than just physically breathing. God offers us life. Not only physical life that is a gift, but spiritual life that is a gift from God. Real life, abundant, plentiful, full, sufficient, and eternal life. The world knows this. The world understands that people want life and they want living. All the commercial industry in this world is built on the fact that people want to live. Try this. Taste this. You'll really be living. Grab all the gusto you can. You only go around once in life. Coke, it is the real thing. Yes, it is. If you want to be overweight and rot your teeth out, it is the real thing that can do that. But the world's always saying, drive this, do this, wear this, eat this, be a part of this, and you'll live. Let me tell you, the world is looking for life, but it's looking in all the wrong places. There's only life in one person, and that's Jesus Christ, and there's only life in one place, and that is at the foot of Calvary, the old rugged cross, where Jesus Christ gave His life that we could have life as well. I believe with all of my heart, the life that is in the Declaration of Independence spoke not only of that historical life and physical life, but of spiritual life as well. Eternal life in Him. Years ago, the man who was the president of a big railroad company, when railroads were the way to go and way to travel in the big industry, was on his deathbed dying. And as he was, he held the hand of his son, or his son held his hand as he was there. And he looked up at his son and he said, "You're holding the hand of the biggest failure that ever lived." And he said, "Dad, don't say that. You were not a failure." He said, "You were a good husband. You were a good father. You worked hard. You provided. You took care of your wife. You took care of your children." He said, "Your business employed thousands of people. You gave gifts to charity. You did this and you did that." And he said, "Son, I realize all those things, but I want you to know something, and I want to leave this with you as my dying words. I lived my life, and I left out Jesus Christ. And any person who lives their life and leaves Jesus Christ out of their life dies as a failure and not a success." Real life is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God offers us this life, and God offers us liberty. God offers us physical liberty. The common, ordinary, everyday physical things that we enjoy. The opportunity to have a job, the opportunity to go to work, the opportunity to make money, the opportunity to own a house, a car, and possessions. The pursuit of life, the opportunity to vote, voice our opinion, and all those things that are there. We have, and God offers us liberty, physical liberty that we enjoy. Our forefathers came because they sought physical, political, and economic, as well as religious freedom and liberty in their country. But God also offers us spiritual liberty. Liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." How many of you know the Son? Amen. How many of you say? Say amen. Amen. Then you know what real spiritual liberty and freedom is all about. God offers us this physical and this spiritual liberty in Him. It is a freedom that God gives. Liberty from ourselves, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Liberty from this old man and this old nature who holds us in bondage. Liberty from Satan. Jesus clearly said in the Gospel of John in chapter 10 where we read earlier about the devil, the thief cometh not for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil, Satan himself, wants to deceive you, destroy you, damage you, and eventually damn your soul to hell. Let me just kind of put it this way. Satan has only bad in mind for you, and God has only good in mind for you. The devil wants to steal all that you have that is good and godly and worthwhile. The devil wants to kill everything in your life that is spiritual and profitable and destroy. But God only has good in mind. There's liberty from ourselves. There's liberty from Satan. There is liberty from sin. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let me tell you what. The blood of our founding fathers ensured the freedom that we have today. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'm glad for the physical liberty I enjoy in this country, but I'm glad for the spiritual liberty that I enjoy in Jesus Christ and Him alone. I'm glad that I have the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm glad that I have been freed from the penalty of sin. My sins have been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is true liberty, eternal liberty, spiritual liberty that can only be found in Jesus Christ. If I know anything of American history, I know our forefathers came because they wanted that religious liberty, that Christian freedom that they had, and that was found in Jesus Christ. A young girl was saved and was going to be baptized in church. In this church in those days, before they were baptized, she had to come before a board, a member of people who questioned her about her salvation, questioned her about being saved and knowing the Lord. And she came in there and said, one of them said, well, why do you want to be baptized? She said, because the Scripture says that we should do this in obedience to the Lord. It's an open confession. One of them said, well, have you been saved? She said, yes, I have been saved. And one said, well, did you know you were a sinner before you got saved? She said, yes, I know I was a sinner before I got saved. One said, well, are you still a sinner? The young lady said, well, I want you to know, sir, I'm still a sinner. And she said, at times, I even feel and sense my sin in a greater sense than I did before. The man said, well, what's the difference? What's the change? She said, it's very simple. Before I was saved, I used to run after sin. Now that I'm saved, I'm running away from sin. That's the difference. That's the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. God offers us happiness. The pursuit of happiness is the quest of man from the beginning of time. God offers us physical happiness. It is a gift from God. You look up here at me. God lets saved people and lost people be happy. Yesterday was a big celebration day. People are downtown at the center and eating and all down there enjoying fireworks. Not everybody down there was saved. Lost people were down there. You know what God does? God lets lost people enjoy things in this life. He lets lost men go hunting, fishing, play golf. He lets lost women, trying to think what women enjoy doing, lets them go shopping. Hallelujah. Lets them redecorate their house. Lets them... amen. Amen. Some women, not all women, but those, you know, he lets them do that. Saved and lost. God lets people enjoy physical happiness in this life. You know, before I was saved, I had some good times with my family, things that happened there. God lets everybody enjoy that. But I want you to know there's not only a physical happiness, there is a spiritual happiness that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Happy thou shalt be. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I believe our founding fathers and our forefathers were not just talking about physical life or physical liberty or physical happiness. They came to America for a spiritual reason, to worship and to serve the true and living God. I'm glad today, as a child of God, we can know physical life and spiritual life, physical liberty and spiritual liberty, physical happiness and spiritual happiness. There's both. How many men like to fish? Amen. Amen. I don't know if there's anything spiritual about fishing, but it makes me happy. When I catch the biggest or the most, it makes me happy. And let me tell you one thing about fish. They grow. They grow. A fish that weighed 3 pounds this year will weigh 4 pounds next year. Is there a witness out there, man? I mean, that just keeps growing. I enjoy that. God lets me enjoy it. I was out with my grandchildren the other day on a boat fishing. I enjoyed it. When I wasn't getting slapped in the face with a fish, I enjoyed it. When I didn't have to tell them 100 times, "You're reeling it up too far, son. Too far." 1,000 times, maybe. I'm not sure. But I enjoyed it. It was a happy day. And it didn't take much to make my grandsons happy. Feed them and give them water. Drink. That's all. All you had to do is make them happy. But God lets us enjoy that. But let me tell you what. Physical life, physical liberty, and physical happiness are made better because of spiritual life. Spiritual liberty. You know why? We realize where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness comes from. It comes from God Himself. There was a primitive tribe discovered several years ago who had a custom of electing a new king every 7 years. During that 7-year reign, the king had the authority to do whatever he wanted. Absolute power, any possessions, any pleasure, anything that he wanted, he had it. He could get it for 7 years unlimited. The only catch was at the end of 7 years, the tribe killed him, and then they elected another king for the next 7 years. The history of this primitive tribe went back almost 1,000 years. And in those 1,000 years, they never lacked for a person who was willing to be king. They were willing to trade 7 years of pleasure, prosperity, and possessions for death. You know what many people in the world are doing? Trading their life for pleasure, possessions, popularity, and things that are there. What is a man profited? So he gained the whole world and loses his own soul. There are people today who to us are just as silly as these people who were king because they want to trade it all for temporary pleasure and possession. But I'm glad that in Jesus Christ we know what life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is all about. This weekend, this patriotic holiday weekend, thank God for those who were willing to give their lives, their fortune, and their all, that we could enjoy the life, the liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that we have today. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you don't know what real life, real liberty, and real happiness is all about, Jesus said in His Word, He is the life, He's the liberty, and He's the happiness. Let's bow our heads in prayer.